From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Once in a while, you read some good news. Today in the Los Angeles Times, killings decline sharply in L.A. That's the headline. And in the story that follows, news that as of Sunday, the LAPD counted 386 homicides. That's roughly one-third the total for 1992 and the lowest total since 1970. Last month, the New York Times reported on murders in the nation's biggest city, and they are likely to be under 500 for the year. That's the lowest total since the police started keeping statistics in 1963. One is tempted to start rummaging around crime reports in search of a nationwide trend, but urban historian Fred Siegel, no relation, of the Cooper Union for Science and Art cautions us about that. It turns out several other cities are experiencing increases in the murder rate. Fred Siegel, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Where is the murder rate worse nowadays?
Detroit, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Baltimore. There are trends and counter-trends at the same time. What New York and Los Angeles have in common is Bill Bratton, the most extraordinary police leader of our time. He first brought crime down in New York, and then he's doing the same thing now in Los Angeles. And the methods he uses, the CompStat method, has been tried and failed in some cities. And the reason it failed in some cities is the lack of a sufficiently professional police department.
Explain CompStat policing here.
Traditionally, police only looked at crime statistics after the fact, 3 months, 6 months later. They look for the patterns. What CompStat policing tries to do is provide real-time information. Let me give an anecdote. In my neighborhood, the Cooper Union is in Greenwich Village. A few blocks away in the East Village, the police would come in for a sweep. When that sweep would occur, the crime would simply move over to where my offices were. I'd watch the crime right outside of my window. That's the old days. Under CompStat, as in real-time tracking information, the police anticipate where the crime is going to move. So if there's a major buy-and-bust operation, what's called Alphabet City in the East Village, the police know where the criminals are likely to move next. And the net effect is an actual reduction in crime, not by putting people away in prison necessarily, but by making crime simply less profitable, less doable.
So you're saying that there really is no, or you don't suspect any underlying demographic shift or some change in the tastes of drug abusers or the way gangs are organized?
Well, you know, people argue that there's an increase in methamphetamine use in the Midwest and that people coming out of prison, there's a large number of people being released from prison. I think that has some role in it. In Indianapolis in particular, the methamphetamine was important. But having said that, there's no major demographic shift underway. I think what's happened is that many cities experienced a decline in crime for a while in the 90s, and I think there was a kind of relaxation. The key thing about crime in the long run is how competent is the city government, how competent are the police.
Murder, though, is so often committed by somebody known to the victim. The victim's husband, I guess, is the leading category, but also possibly the victim's son or friend. Can police behavior really effectively discourage homicidal domestic violence, let's say?
It probably can't, but it can help with a different kind of stranger murder. That is, you've got two drug gangs who are competing over turf. And in the course of a shootout, this has occurred repeatedly in Philadelphia, in the course of a shootout, innocent civilians are being killed. That you can do a great deal about. But domestic violence is very hard for the police to deal with.
Well, New York and L.A. down sharply. Chicago,
third largest city?
Down somewhat.
Chicago, Daley was reluctant to deal with this because of the racial political implications of dealing too forcefully with crime. But he was pushed into it largely by black ministers. And Chicago began to adopt these methods and has had some success. Not so far away in Detroit, however, as city government literally decomposes, the crime rate continues to explode. Part of what happens is cities have expectations. Philadelphia is famous as a city of low expectations. So the prior mayor, John Street, allowed crime to run out of control, and he's never held accountable. In Detroit, similarly, the current mayor, Kwame Kilpatrick, has not been held accountable. He was reelected despite soaring crime rates. When that happens, what you do is you push more of the middle class out of the cities, and the crime rate then will go up.
Well, Fred Siegel, thank you very much for talking to us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's urban historian Fred Siegel of Cooper Union talking to us about murder rates.